The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
If you'd asked me, would you expect the general manager of the baseball team to know that was going on? Like what was going on in the clubhouse and in the video room and the dugout? I would say no. Would I expect the manager to know? Yes. Jeff Luhnow doesn't put on a uniform and go and sit in the dugout during games, okay?
Listen, I said all along, he was the big loss in this thing. Managers can be replaced, but it's not ridiculous to think that, but I don't know that it's realistic to think that he didn't know something. I think there's some things you can do that might not be the obvious trade, JJ. You know, Kenny Stills might have a use to somebody like this. Again, Philadelphia needs a receiver.
I mean, any receiver on this team, Fuller, Stills, Cobb, Cooks.
Yeah.
If someone's interested in any of them, trade them for a draft pick.
Yeah, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I think...
Because I'd trade two of them.
Yeah.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the Real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Miss the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Yeah, I think that tweet got deleted. It was
drama show.
Yeah. Listen, I don't blame her for getting the interview. I mean, it's great for her.
It is good for her.
And you know, I mean, if that was the deal, okay. Well, all right. So, Lance, do you want to tell us what questions to ask you so we make sure that we don't embarrass you?
Wait, hang on. What tweet got deleted?
Well, I saw Creighton tweeted something that she responded to, and then now I can't find it.
Huh.
Yeah, about her interview.
Well, I said as much. That interview, you could tell every question and every answer, they knew what the other one was going to say. Like, they went over these. That wasn't the first time those questions hit Jeff Luhnow's ears.
I don't think so. I mean, Jeff Luhnow has to know what the questions would probably be. And then B, my guess is, you know, there's going to be some quid pro quo. You're going to get this exclusive interview. But in return, you know, I want to see what the questions are. Nothing's out of bounds, but I want to see what the questions are. Okay, well, nothing's out of bounds. Well, I mean, do you really think that's an interview that Jeremy Schapp would have done? Do you think that's something that an investigative reporter, there would have been follow-up questions, and there would have been gotcha moments where they would have pointed to something that was said or done, and that was going to be the case. But that was never. Did y'all think that was going to be the case?
No, because if somebody was going to do a hard hitting, and the reason you go to that girl, you go to the local girl at Channel 2, yeah, is because you don't want to do the hard hitting one. You want one that's going to paint you in a positive light, and that's what he got.
I think, regardless of the girl, I think local media, for the most part, I think a lot of people would have killed to have that, especially on television where you have a much, I will say that was a, you know, that was a long form piece and certainly on, I guess there's an interview that's even longer on the website, but I was interested in hearing Jeff Luhnow speak personally. I was waiting for the interview and I did find it interesting because everything he said, you could easily check him on it. Like Major League Baseball could come out and say, Jeff Luhnow is not telling the truth. So for him to make those kind of bold, grandiose statements, he must feel pretty truthful about it because he could easily be checked by people in the know, and I haven't seen that happen. So I think it did lend some credence to what he was saying because, you know, now some of the questions I think there was no way for – he knows what MLB knows and what it doesn't know. So if he did know – I have a hard time believing he didn't know about – the trash can thing, but there's a chance he might not know about it. Now, code breaker, he'd know about it, but that's also not illegal. That's just part of an elaborate sign stealing plan. Not illegal, but regardless, I think he wanted to do this interview. A, he had some unfinished business to take care of in terms of trying to repair his reputation. And B, I think he wants to, he knows he needs to do this before he tries to get back out there and do and go for a job. And the best way to handle that is put something on record so that when people say we want an interview, he can just say, I answered all the questions that were asked of me in this interview, and you can get your answers from there. And he doesn't have to. So this is a required interview for him to do before he wants to search for another baseball job. That's what I think. And I think he wanted, like you said, AJ, he wanted the, you know, he wanted the most friendly one he could get.
Yeah, and I said, I don't blame her for doing it. Gets her a lot of attention, no. And you know, and that's how you get noticed in this business. So let's shift to the Texans. One of the things we've been talking about a little bit is if you could be sellers here, would you do it? But do you think there's any realistic way that Jack Easterby could make trades here coming up on the deadline?
No, I mean, could he? Yes, but he's been part of some really bad deals that have really had bad consequences because he and Bill O'Brien didn't know the value system. To me, that's a deal for Matt Bazergan.
They didn't know the
personnel side.
The player value system. Their Jesus values are well in line.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know I had to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Thanks for spelling that out on that one because I didn't want there to be confusion.
They're all about values.
But Bazergan probably would understand it more. He's been a head honcho with the Jets a few years back, and he's been in that position. He would understand it better. I don't see them as sellers. I think the smart thing would be to listen to anything and everything and be prepared to get rid of anybody, any bad contracts they could. I would be ready to do it for whatever it takes. But I don't think he would do it for J.J. Watt. I think it's pretty interesting because Watt is one of the few guys I think that have legitimate value, but I don't know what people are willing to pay for a guy who has, you know, half a year. You basically would be getting a guy for a year and a half. Unlike the Texans who don't mind renting players for a second rounder, most teams don't like it. So I don't really know what you would get for J.J. Watt. I know people out there think, oh, you get a first for J.J. Watt. No, you're not getting a first for J.J. Watt. So I do think that's going to be interesting to see if they get anyone nibbling around. Because here's what might happen. They may say, hey, you know who doesn't know how to make a trade ever? The Texans. Let's go see if we can get J.J. Watt. And so you might have somebody digging around because they think the Texans are patsies when it comes to the trade market.
Well, I don't know where you would get that idea that they're actual patsies.
Yeah, I can't imagine where that would come from.
I noticed there's a story coming out today that they're not, you know, that they're still in win now mode. But 2 weeks before the deadline, that's what you would say, right? You don't want to say, oh, we'll move anybody because that's not exactly going to get you any value.
All 1-5 teams are in win now mode. Yeah,
yeah, you have to. No, you don't have to say it publicly. You just let people know behind the scenes and see if you had people in the building with that kind of, you know, those kind of contacts. They'd be reaching out to teams and saying, hey, let us know if there's anybody you're interested in. You know, we're willing to listen to anything before the trade deadline. You just get it out there. Hey, buddy, you know, hey, me and you used to work together on the Jags staff. You know, hey, me and you used to work together for a little bit in Tampa Bay. If they had these kind of, you know, if Jack or whoever was running that had that kind of ability, yeah, you reach out to a bunch of guys and you let it be known that you're one of those guys willing to listen, but I know Jack Easterby doesn't have those kind of connections. There we are.
He does with the Patriots, I'm guessing, still.
Yeah, I don't think the Patriots. Yeah, I don't think the Texans are going to be. I just have a feeling the GM search is not going to lead. I don't think the Texans are going to go after more Patriot football. I really don't think that's going to be the key.
I hope not. Somebody asked us something last segment that we thought might be good for you to answer, but they were asking about why do people think Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent? What skills does he have that we think he's the best prospect since Andrew Luck?
Okay, so from a physical standpoint, he's got height to see over the defense, can sit and deliver from the pocket. He's got a strong arm. He can deliver it with the – he's got a pretty quick release. You know, a lot of arm talent, which means he can throw from different arm slots. He can throw with velocity. He's very fast. I mean, he's not just mobile. He's fast. I mean, he's run away from people fast. And which Luck was also that, too. He throws a better ball than Andrew Luck, which is a big advantage. But I can understand where that question comes from because, you know, you look at the stats last year. I didn't think Trevor Lawrence was this generational talent for the way, you know, like the way he played. It didn't look like generational talent type of play. But you also have to keep in mind that they had Etienne. They had a team that was good defensively. That's not what he was asked to do. If you want to find a generational quarterback, you say, can this, does this guy have the talent and the mental capacity and the competitive nature to potentially elevate, to build around and potentially elevate a bad team into a good team? And I think the answer with him is, you know, I don't think it's a lock that he's a generational quarterback, but I do think that he has what it takes to be one, and I think that that's what teams look at is he's been in high-leverage games. He's highly competitive. He makes big plays with his arms and legs, which is very important in these days to be able to do both, and that's why. I mean, you know, he's got the pedigree of what you look for, including the arm and the size. And so, you know, he's got some Josh Allen traits, only he's a little faster probably. And he is, I think, smarter on the football field in terms of knowing what he wants to do.
Lance, kind of a general draft question, because obviously you're going to have to start evaluating guys here. How trustworthy is this season going to be, considering with all the fits and starts? And what do you do with guys who opted out that, you know, are obviously high draft picks?
Yeah, so I'm struggling with that. Right, I've been struggling with that. Opt-outs already. I've looked at most of the guys who are going to be, you know, draftable opt-outs, and I've already written up probably 10 or 12 players. And here's the problem. You'll have a guy like Miami has a guy named Greg Rousseau he was a redshirt sophomore. He's opting out, and he had one year last year. Like, he's played one year. He was a defensive end who had a bunch of sacks, but he got a lot of them playing inside over, you know, at nose tackle, and he's like 6'6", 260 pounds. He's not a nose. He just had an advantage with his quickness inside. So that's not what it's going to look like on the next level. More tape would have helped. There's a cornerback from Virginia Tech. He's played cornerback for 2 years, and Caleb Fairley, and, you know, there's holes in his game. But you know what? You can get better from sophomore to junior year season. I'm going to have to try to figure out if these, you know, you're going to have to project if these guys are going to get, if their holes are going to get better with more coaching. And it's going to be hard. Like Micah Parsons, a linebacker from Penn State, that's not hard for me. Rondale Moore, he opted back in, but he's a wide receiver from Purdue. He played 1 year. I know exactly who that guy is. But there's going to be other players. It's going to be really hard for NFL teams who are going to have to take, you know, Trey Lance. This is a quarterback out of North Dakota State who was a starter last year and played one game this year where he was not all that great. And teams are going to have to figure out if they're going to draft a quarterback from North Dakota State who has 1 year of starts, they're going to have to rely on his 2019 tape, man. That is terrifying to me. So I think this is going to be really hard, Fred. It'll be hard enough for me, but I'm not a decision maker where millions are on the line and my job is on the line. And for them, they're going to have to really trust their area scouts who have relationships with coaches to find out everything they can about how coachable players are, what their personality's like, what their, you know, what they don't see on tape that is important that they need to know about. It's really going to be tougher this year with COVID. Now, that's for opt-outs. As far as the guys who are playing, you know, football's still football, and you just go try to find the best opposition you can. And since a lot of these games that have been lost are against lesser, you know, smaller teams that were coming in for the paychecks, that's not really going to matter. I mean, it's the same thing. I'm not going to find any good Big 12 defenses to really give me a good look against a Big 12 offensive player. And by the same token, you know, the SEC is not the same as they were in years past in defense. So it's going to be a little bit more challenging. And there are opt-outs. You know, there's opt-outs from LSU who guys who have physical talent who, you know, their tape's really not good enough right now. So I got to figure out if I push them up, just assuming they would have gotten better this year, which they very well could have.
Yeah, like Ja'Marr Chase is a guy that comes to mind who was just surrounded by other receivers last year. So how do you know? but he's clearly got talent.
Yeah, when the ball's in the air, though, Fred, I mean, he's an animal. You see, when the ball goes in the air, he's fast. He's got good size. He's not huge, but he's got good size. He can really leap. And he's got great timing when the ball's in the air to go high point it. So his ball skills are special. His ability to track it and make plays one-on-one. I think Ja'Marr Chase not playing, it's not a big deal. His teammate, Kerry Vincent, a cornerback who did not, you know, go back to school and play, that's a big deal for him on the exact same team because his tape's not good enough. And yet he's really athletic and really fast, and there's a lot of things to like about him, but his tape isn't one of them. And so, you know, it hurt him not playing. Ja'Marr Chase is irrelevant. I think he's the first receiver off the board, but Waddle's making a lot of noise right now at Alabama.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him every morning on the bench and also NFL.com. Super draft genius, one might say.
Hey, we're talking. I've got some good information about tomorrow morning. We're going to be talking about Texans GMs. I've had a couple of guys call me who are potential candidates, and some of the things they said were pretty interesting about whether or not they would, you know, what their perspective of the Texans job looks like. And that just happened today, so we're gonna talk about that tomorrow morning on the show.
Awesome. That's a radio tease. Do you know what hour so I can tune
there
in?
You go. Yeah, we're gonna do it early. We'll do it at 7 o'clock unless we want to get into the World Series that we're not even playing in.
Yeah, do it at 7 o'clock because that's usually when I drop the wife off. So
there you go. We'll do it in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll do it early.
All right, that's Lance Erline. Follow him on Twitter at Lance Erline.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about TGS Insurance, and if you are looking to save money on your homeowner's insurance, and let's face it, who's not looking to save money on their homeowner's insurance? TGS, a great place to get started, because I'll tell you this, I had no idea what I was paying for my homeowner's insurance. So I go to TGS. It's so simple, too. You don't have to meet with anyone in person. You text the word money to 232323. They reply back, say, hey, what's your address? Send that in. You get a full quote, excellent coverage within 15 seconds. I saved over $1,000 annually. Graham down the hall saved $2,600 annually. That's a lot of money. That adds up over time. And it's so simple. There's no reason you wouldn't do it. Now, not everybody's going to save $1,000. The average customer is saving about $900. But, I mean, even if you save $500 a year, it's still $500 that you could have in your pocket. Do it now. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving right now with TGS Insurance.
Looking for fresh air. When I'm looking out my window, I'm hoping the sun appears. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. Please come back, take away this rain.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, let's do a Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So we've been talking a lot about how the world is becoming movies, right? I mean, we've got all these asteroid threats, which, you know, we have all these movies about that where they knock off half the world. We've had all these alien threats. The Russians.
We haven't had an alien threat.
Alien reports everywhere, man. And guys are having these.
Do you remember getting an alien threat?
Yes, they're everywhere. And you're not reading Scott.
Have you
Horn
ever felt threatened by aliens?
No.
No,
really,
Fred, you made that up.
No, I didn't make that up.
When has an alien ever threatened?
No, all these theories.
Theories are different than threats.
Okay. All right. So maybe I used the wrong word. But all these theories that these guys come up with, they basically steal from the movies. Like, okay. Earth is an experiment. Yeah, that is from, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Nice job, Russian scientists. Well, now you've totally made me lose my train of thought. Thank you.
Oh, it's my fault.
Yeah, it is your fault.
My fault.
But now we're getting a whole bunch of asteroid threats, right?
Yes.
You can call those threats?
I'll call that a threat.
Wouldn't it be perfect if one of them was a threat the day before the election?
Oh, who do you think implemented this?
I don't know what movie this is going to be, but an asteroid is hurtling towards us at more than 40,000 kilometers an hour. It may buzz cut Earth on November 2nd, the day before the presidential election. But here's a guy I actually trust, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Who, if we, which candidate do we have to vote for to avoid the asteroid? That's what I want.
He doesn't say that.
That's the only real question,
right? Right. That's because that's what decides everything. Because the COVID's going to be determined by that, right?
COVID will either live or die depending on the election. Your COVID check will live or die depending on the election. The asteroid will hit us. I just need to know which candidate to vote for.
He doesn't say, but it's a refrigerator-sized space rock. So not as scary. Now, if it landed on your house,
still do some damage.
Yeah, if it landed on your house, it would suck. But Tyson says there's a 0.41% chance of it entering our atmosphere. So it's not big enough to cause harm. So if the world ends in 2020, it won't be the fault of the universe.
Okay.
Now, I trust him. He's actually a smart
man. A refrigerator size asteroid. Imagine you see that thing coming, like.
Well, I mean, what size would it be by the time it burned through the atmosphere, though, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd still be enough. If it hit your home, you're a dead man.
Oh, yeah.
Might even ruin your neighborhood. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, so we're going to switch over to 92.5 for the last 30 minutes of the show. But if you want to listen to the World Series, you can do it right here on 97.5. And just a reminder,
the choice is yours.
Indeed, because this is America.
That's right.
And Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis will come after at 7 o'clock. That will also be on 92.5. Late Hits with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock at 9.
Do the show.
Yeah. And I was right. There was a tweet. Apparently, she deleted it, not Patrick.
Yeah, interesting. So, interesting.
The plot thickens. I like a little beef. Come on. What's wrong with that?
I get Patrick said that she did a fluff piece, which she did, but that's her job.
I mean, I'm totally fine with that. Guess what? She got him. He didn't.
Yeah, it's not like she's, you know, some hardcore investigative journalist.
All right. We're going to switch over to 92.5. We'll say goodbye to the Twitchers for the day. We'll be back tomorrow for you guys, but you can catch the streamer terrestrial radio at 92.5.
Old school, kicking it old school.
Yeah, so Katie and Sugarland, we're about to be your bitches for 30 minutes.
No, that's not. No. We're just going to do radio for them.
Radio bitches. All right.
No.
We'll be back tomorrow. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.